Welcome to the podcast of Radius Church. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Well, we want to just thank you so much, Radius Church in Casper, Wyoming! Woo! It is such an honor and a privilege for us to be with you today. And my name is Kevin. This is my wife, Melissa. And I'm already feeling rocked in my heart, man. I'm already feeling excited, encouraged, and exhilarated just to be with you all this morning and enjoyed the worship time and enjoying the presence of God. And it's just exciting. And so we want to thank Pastor Craig and his staff that has so welcomely joined us to be here this morning. And thank you, Pastor Craig. I hope you're feeling better. And it's just an honor to be here today. Amen. So, we'll try to condense this and just share with you our story, because it's quite an interesting story. My wife and I have been involved in pastoral ministry for 25 years. We recently have been pastoring in Star Valley, Wyoming. How many of you know where Star Valley is? Just south of Jackson Hole. On the prettier side, on the prettier side of the state? On the snowy side of the state. And so we've been there for 10 years, and it's just been a wonderful season for us serving there. We have three daughters. All of our daughters we're empty nesting it, so they're all out of the house, and they're all serving Jesus, and we're so grateful. Matter of fact, our middle daughter, you may know her, her name is Hannah. And she is serving in a country that I can't mention, but she's serving Jesus, and we're grateful for that. So our daughter Hannah is serving the Lord. Our daughter, our youngest daughter Sarah is serving the Lord with YWAM in Los Angeles, California. And then our oldest daughter is a nurse in Oregon, and she's got a heart for India. So I think before this is all over, probably in the short term, we're all going to be serving in missions. And it's just amazing how God has just transformed that and brought that into our lives. And we're just excited for this opportunity with Chi Alpha. So we have been called to disciple college students, giving them grace, biblical truth, and unconditional love so that they can know God. And we're going to be serving primarily at the University of Utah and Utah Valley University, which is located in Orem, Utah. Anybody been there? Driven through there? Very close to Provo, where we're going to be living and serving with Chi Alpha. Mm-hmm. So our story really begins in 2017. We were at General Council, and we were there for with our family and just visiting, and we happened to walk into the missions area and walked up to one of the booths there that was for Chi Alpha. And we walked up to the gal, which we knew who she was. We had known her when we lived in Springfield, Missouri for a while. And I just said to her, kind of half kidding, I said, "Do you think that Chi Alpha would accept an old fogey like me?" I just kind of laughed. And she just kind of laughed right along with me. But she immediately said, "Why, yes, we have many pastors that join us in Chi Alpha as second career missionaries." And so it kind of brought some excitement to me, and my wife and our girls were there, and they were very encouraging and supportive. But it wasn't time for us to leave Star Valley yet. We were still serving in Star Valley as pastors. And so we just kind of tucked that in our hearts, mm-hmm. and just kind of waiting on the Lord and trusting in the Lord. And then back in January of 2020, over a year ago now, a year and a half ago almost, the Lord began to stir our hearts for Chi Alpha, Utah. And I'll let my wife continue with the rest of that story. Mm-hmm.
And I just want to thank all of you for letting us be here today. Thank you so much for your, we're thankful for your pastors and just everyone here, and you're welcome to us. So yes, we were called to Chi Alpha in 2020. We felt like, he was starting in 2017. 2020, we met with the director's wife because her husband was actually at a conference in Africa learning how to reach Mormons as well as Muslims, because there's just a lot of similarities there. And so we met with his wife, and we just felt like an immediate connection. Usually when you meet with someone, we met for coffee, you know if it's going to work or not in a relationship, you know, a working relationship, you can just tell if it clicks. And, you know, and we just felt God just, you know, speak to us, and we just felt like it was immediate connection with her. And so we just began praying, and all of 2020, it was a very interesting year for all of us, but it gave us lots of time to pray and just seek Him and just want to do something that God was calling us to that was different. And sometimes different, you know, I mean, I know God is all about different, and He's all about doing things that are out of our comfort zone, which is what He was calling us to do. And He wants all of us to do that as believers and to follow His voice and to be obedient because we love Him, not because we have to or because, you know, we have to earn credit with God, but because we love Him and we want to obey His voice and do what He's called us to do. And so we knew that God was calling us to Chi Alpha and to work with college students. And our daughter, Becca, our oldest, she was very involved in Chi Alpha at University of Wyoming. And that it changed her life. It gave her a family to belong to, and it just really solidified her faith. Growing up as a pastor's kid can sometimes be hard, and it just really helped her to identify and really own her faith herself. And it wasn't just mom and dad's faith, but it was her own. And so we are thankful for that. Our goal is to have a Chi Alpha on every university campus in Utah. There are several campuses there that don't have a Chi Alpha right now. And that is our desire, along with our team. We're going to be in a group of probably about 12 younger people than us. Our directors that we'll be serving under are about 10 years younger than us. So we're going to be the oldest people, but that's okay because God doesn't care about age. I mean, we know that with Abraham and Sarah when they had a baby. And we know that God is calling us to this, and we're thankful. We're honored, actually, very honored that He's called us to this. And Utah is, this next slide, it shows Utah County. And those are the Timpanogos Mountains, which are right behind UVU, where we'll be serving. Utah is one of the most, it is number one as far as the most unevangelized state in the country, with Washington, D.C. and Massachusetts being next. So there's 7% of the population is evangelical Christians, and then the rest of the state is pretty much LDS faith, and then there's some that don't have any faith. But we know that it's a place where it's a missions field, and we know God is calling us there. That next slide, it shows that's the predominant religion there. And we know that God is calling us. We love the Mormon people, and we've been honored to have Mormon friends, Mormon missionaries in our home, and we know it's not by accident. God has placed us in Oregon, Washington, Missouri, and here, where each time we have had relationship with Mormons or been exposed somehow, and we know it's not by accident. God has paved the way for that.
So this next slide is, of course, shows the founder of the LDS Church, Joseph Smith. And Utah County, where we will be living, is home to the Mormon-owned Brigham Young University. It's going to be about 10 minutes away from the primary university we are going to be working at, Utah Valley University. Has the third highest percentage of Latter-day Saints with 82%. Approximately 77%, so three-quarters of UVU students will identify as Mormon. And so, you know, here's the challenge that we have before us, right? But how many of you know, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world? Come on. Amen. Yeah, I like that. That's the Word of God. And so that gives us incentive, that gives us drive, that gives us courage and boldness, because we know we're not going in our own strength. We're going in the strength and empowerment of the Holy Spirit. So this next slide shows you a picture of the evangelical churches. Now hold on to your seats here. Because this is very, very, this is unbelievable what we're going to show you. So every one of those red dots were evangelical churches. Go back to that one, please, real quick. So just to give you an idea. So those red dots, thank you. Give it up for the person back there doing the slides for us. Yeah. So that's those red dots are the evangelical churches. Now the next slide is unbelievable. Those are the LDS churches. So there's 29 evangelical churches in the county where we are going to be serving. There's 1,400 LDS wards where we're going to be serving. So you see, you know, the challenge, right, that lies before us. And like my wife already said, we are not here to bash the LDS faith. We are here to share the love of Jesus with them. That's the bottom line. How many of you, just out of curiosity, if you don't mind me asking, how many of you know LDS people? Maybe have come from an LDS background, even. Any hands on that? Yeah, a few of you. So again, we love these wonderful people, and we want to share the love of Jesus with each and every one of them.
And on that note, I would just give a little commercial and just a little plug for Adams Road. We have had them in our community and several times. We saw a little advertisement on your board out there. They're an excellent group. They're going to be at the Sunrise Baptist Church, I believe, on the 20th. I would highly recommend you go to them. Just go and see them. They're very gifted. Matthew is an excellent pianist. Micah, he has written one book, Passport to Heaven, and I just highly recommend them. And the Wilder family, he came to the Lord on his Mormon mission. So he will give you that story.
Powerful story.
Yes. So Proverbs 16:9, this is our biblical mandate. The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. And then Psalms 22:5, to you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. And because we're going to be in an area where it's a very shame-based culture, we know that we need to share the unconditional love and grace of Jesus Christ and to give them that hope of a relationship with Jesus, not religion.
So the challenge, of course, we've mentioned a couple times already before us, is that where we are going to be living, where we are going to be serving, is the main headquarters for the missionary training for every LDS person that goes on the mission field, right there at Utah Valley University. And so again, this is the challenge that the Lord has placed before us. Now I'm going to have my wife share a few statistics with you that are very eye-opening.
Utah's college students fall above the national average on depression, thoughts of suicide, and serious mental illness. In 2019, suicide was the leading cause of death for Utahns ages 18 to 24. Antidepressant drugs are prescribed in Utah more often than any other state at a rate nearly twice the national average. More people are hospitalized or treated in emergency rooms for suicide attempts than are fatally injured. And in 2019, 70 Utahns were treated for self-inflicted injuries every day. Downloaded pornography is 2 times as high in Provo, Utah, than any other city its size in the U.S., which is where they are trained for the Mormon in the Mormon faith. This next slide, it's a quote by a student, not a follower of Jesus, but just something that is excellent that we can all remember. She says, "I think that students could get a grip on stopping for a moment, putting their phone down, and self-reflecting on what is my purpose in life. What am I doing here? What do I hope to achieve? Am I just here for a degree because my parents told me? Or is there a greater value to what I am doing in this life?" I think that would be such a positive effect in the classroom.
So the next slide asks this question: what does a typical college student desire? Well, I think many of you would remember this when you went to college, or maybe one of your sons or daughters left to go to college. They want love and acceptance. They want family, right? They want to belong. And they're going to find that somewhere, right? They're going to find that somewhere. Some, of course, find that belonging and that love in the wrong places. And so our heart and our prayer is to steer them in the right direction. And that, of course, is not just having another religious experience, but having a spiritual connection with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? A spiritual connection where they can understand who God is, have a spiritual encounter with God, and He will help them find purpose and meaning in life, develop a sense of morals, establish self-identity, and connect with other people. And so that's our heart, and that's what the college student is looking for the moment they set foot on that campus. So the next slide shows you some more Bible verses to share with you concerning this venture that the Lord is calling us to. And don't just look at these verses like, oh yeah, we've heard these before, but let them sink into your spirit. Let them sink into your heart today. Jesus said this in Matthew 28, "Go and make disciples." Go, He says, "and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I have commanded you." Now, you may not be commissioned to go, but God is calling us to go. But all of us are commissioned to make disciples. That's throughout the entire Bible. And specifically, I'll share this a little bit more in my message here in a moment, but all of us precious people are missionaries. All of us are called to missionaries. You have a mission field that is very unique, that God is calling you to, that he may not be calling me to. And so that's very important to remember. He tells us to go. And then in Matthew 9, Jesus said this to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful. There are lots of people that need Jesus. Right? Right here in Casper. Lots of people that need Jesus. He said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. The laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send. Everyone say send.
Send.
Everyone say send. Send. There it is. To send out laborers into his harvest. And that's where you can come in. You may not be able to go. You're a missionary where you're at, but you can help in sending, right? You can help in sending people to various places in this world, in this country and in this world. By the way, man, I love the fact that you folks are very missions-minded as a church. Thank you, Pastor Craig, for being so missions-minded. I see that atlas on the back wall. I see those missionary certificates, and it just blesses my heart to see that this church believes in missions, believes in going, and believes in sending.
Amen. And six spiritual needs that college students have are transformation from the inside out, acceptance of God's unconditional love, and I know that they need that there where we're going with the culture that they're in, trusting the Bible as a steady compass for living, seeing the gospel of Jesus Christ lived out in the lives of others, and that's something like Kevin was talking about. We all have a missions field. A mission field that we can live out our daily. We can live out our relationship with Jesus Christ to others and just show them the example of love, unconditional love, and show them the grace of Jesus just by how we live our lives, not just on Sundays, but every day, every hour of the week. And of course, all of us are human and we all make mistakes, and that's where we just have to be authentic as believers and just rely on Jesus every minute of every day. And that's what we're going to do as Chi Alpha leaders, is just relying on him to be the example he wants us to be. And then another one is learning basic Bible doctrine. And a lot of them, because they've been, you know, taught so many things that are not, you know, not parallel with biblical Christianity, we need to teach them, you know, basic Bible doctrine and disciple them. Being accountable to another Christ follower. And accountability is so key with us as followers of Jesus. And college students and Chi Alpha they're very intentional about that. And just making it a safe place where you can share your issues and share things that you're struggling with. And then they pray for one another. It's a family. And they belong, you know, they want to belong before they believe. And that leads us up to our next thing that we're going to talk about there.
So how do we reach them? How do we reach college students? Belonging before believing. That's one of the key components of it. And that encompasses these three areas as well as a few more on the next slide. But one way that happens is just one-on-one, where I'm going to come up to a young man, let's say his name is Jason, say, Jason, I notice you've been coming to our Tuesday night services here on campus, and I'd love to meet with you, and let's go have some hot chocolate or Mountain Dew or whatever whatever you'd like to join me in, and I'll treat you for lunch, and let's share, and let's talk about life and what's going on in your life. And so that's one of the key areas that we can disciple students and introduce Jesus to them, is through one-on-one ministry. Dwell time is another one, on the campus through prayer and spiritual conversations. And then outreach on the campus, tabling and activities and special events. And that's going to be happening here in the next couple weeks. We're not going to probably be able to be a part of it because we're still going to be itinerating and fundraising. But the first 2 weeks of school, of college classes is very, very critical for our ministries to get going on the right foot. Because we set up tables, students come in, kind of like our table out here in the foyer. They see the display, and it arouses curiosity, and we can come up to them, we can invite them, we can give them a tract, or we can give them a program or a flyer, an invitation, and invite them to come to our meetings, invite them to get together at some point and learn more about who Jesus is and what Chi Alpha is all about.
So how do we reach them? Belonging before believing. That's the theme of Chi Alpha. Through small groups, Bible studies, discipleship, preaching and teaching, large groups, worship nights at the movement, which is called the Movement at UVU Connect, at the University of Utah. And then one of our favorite is just hospitality in our home. And Kevin loves to make chocolate chip cookies. I like to make lasagna and other, you know, other dishes, just whatever. College students aren't picky. I know they just like to eat. And so we just want to feed them, you know, feed their bellies and also just fill their minds with just the hope that comes from Jesus and relationship. And this is what Kevin, he got this from our oldest daughter, Becca, Daddy-O, head breakfast chef. And that's something that we love to do is just make breakfast and make meals and have them in our home and just show them, you know, show them through food that we can, that, you know, that we love them. Retreats is another way that we can reach them through missions trips. Our daughter that serves over in North Africa, she said that Chi Alpha students are some of the best interns that come over there. And so that's something that, you know, Chi Alpha students can take missions trips. I know it changed my life when I went to Mexico and to Europe when I was in college, and I was never the same. And that's what got me started with missions. Parties, having a good time with no extra effects afterwards, if you know what I mean. You know, just good old-fashioned parties, fun ones. You know, fun times where you can laugh and just enjoy each other's presence. SALT is a leadership conference, and so we're just excited to do those things.
So why are we doing what we're doing? We want to see college students experience relationship with Jesus and to thrive with purpose. We may only have them 2 years or 3 years or maybe even all 4 years. But when they graduate from college, from university, we want to see them continue on in their walk with Christ. Amen? Continue on in their walk with Jesus and to have that purpose that God has called them to. Whether it's in the secular world as an engineer or as a teacher, whatever that might look like, or whether it's continuing on in ministry full-time somewhere serving Jesus. I had a friend of mine say this to me, and I love this quote. The greatest moment in a student's life can take place on a secular university campus. The greatest moment. And that's the moment that we are hoping to be able to share with so many there down in Orem and Salt Lake.
So we would just, you know, ask this question and just be led of the Holy Spirit. How can you help? We need prayer most of all. Please pray with us. We need wisdom and direction. This is a scary adventure. Not too many people in their 50s want to take a step like this and make a change in life. But we've chosen just be obedient and just to take a step. And we know that God is the one that's leading us. We would ask you another thing that's very important in a mission, in a missionary's life, is just to get monthly monthly financial partnership, just to come alongside of us, be a part of our team of supporters. And just to partner with us, invest in students' lives and invest in what the purpose that God has put before us to do. And then come intern and serve with Chi Alpha. I know they would accept you gladly and for any amount of time, we can always use you. And so we would just ask you to be prayerful about this. And we have a table out there. You can sign up for our newsletter that we just started and we'll send that to you. And we just thank you so much. Take a prayer card, take some information from us, and we'll meet you out there after service, and we'd love to talk to you. So thank you so much.
Praise God. Thank you, honey. I'm just going to take a few more moments, if I may, and just share just a word that just coincides with this, and perhaps this will be a challenge as well. I'm going to take my apron off. Is that all right, Pastor Zach? So I feel a little funny with it up here. I'm not ready to bake any cookies quite yet. Aww. That's right. Serving up the word, my friend. No, we are not having a midlife crisis. We're not having a midlife crisis. Although I have to tell you, when the Lord began to speak to my heart about this and to both of our hearts, I really honestly asked the Lord. Honestly, I'll just say this. I argued with the Lord at first. I'm like, you want us to do what? This is crazy, Lord. I'm not too far from 60. And my wife, you know, I'm not going to tell you how old she is. But anyway, we're both getting up there, and we could just stay in Star Valley and be comfortable and pastor our church there, because we've been in the community for 10 years, and God's helped us and brought us favor and many, many, many friendships and relationships with Christians and non-Christians and other churches. But, you know, when God began to knock on my door, I had a choice to make. Was I going to listen and obey? Or was I going to dig in my heels and be stiff-necked and stubborn and say, no way, call somebody else, God, because I'm not going. And that was the reality that hit us. And so I was tossing and turning many, many nights, many sleepless nights. As a matter of fact, I did something that I've never done before in my ministry. Don't judge me. Don't think I'm weird. But I asked Jesus himself to appear to me. I don't know if anybody else has ever prayed that prayer, but I asked, Lord, I really want to know this is you speaking to me, God. Now, I will tell you that Jesus did not physically or in the spirit appear to me, but he showed me in many, many other ways, and my wife too, confirmation after confirmation after confirmation, come on, that he was speaking to us and showing us that this is what he wanted us to do, whether it be a dream, whether it be a verse of scripture or a passage of scripture, right? Whether it be books, whether it be confirmation through visiting with other people. I would wake up with a song, one of them you're going to sing here in a few moments, The Waymaker. I mean, all of these various things, God began to speak to my heart and say, my son, this is what I have for you and your bride. I'm calling you to this. Yes, it's out of the box. Yes, it's crazy. It's insane, but I will be with you. Come on, I will be with you. And he brought me to Exodus chapter 3. He brought me, and we might have these verses up for you here. I hope, maybe not. But if not, you can take your Bibles really quickly and turn to Exodus chapter 3. It's the story of Moses, when God called Moses to lead his people out of Israel. And remember what Moses did? What did Moses do? Made lots of excuses, right? God, what if these people don't want to hear what I have to say? God, what if they don't believe me? And I was asking those same questions about college students. Lord, college students are intimidating. They're smart. These guys got engineering degrees and doctors and studying to be lawyers, and I'm just a preacher. God, I can't. What if they don't understand, or what if they don't listen to me? Or what if they ask me a question that I can't answer? And with every one of those questions, God gave me this answer that he gave to Moses in Exodus chapter 3 when he said this. Well, here, let's look at verse 13. Then Moses said to God, Exodus 3, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? What did God say? God said to Moses, come on. I am who I am. I am the God of Israel. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am is going to go before you, my child, my son. Yes, and he said, say to this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. So see, we're not going in our own strength. We're not going in our own calling, if you will. We're not going in our own wisdom. We're going under the power and the anointing and the empowerment of a holy God. And when we go there, God will be with us every single step of the way. And I believe the same with each and every one of you. Listen, precious people, don't think that you're too old to make a difference for Jesus. Come on. Even if you're retired, or maybe you're not retired, God still wants to use you in your sphere of influence. He wants to use you on your campus as high school's approaching. He wants to use you in your job, whatever that job might look like. God wants to use you as a mouthpiece for him. But we need to be listening and we need to be obedient to his voice. Amen. And do what he's calling us to do. You can share your testimony in 30 seconds. We make it so difficult, so hard. And it's not that difficult. We become fearful of people and what they're going to think or what they're going to say to us. And Melissa and I have been dealing with this as we're preparing to go down to Utah. We've been dealing with this in our own hearts and our own spirits. But we know that we know that we know that the Word of God never returns void. Never returns void. So whether you offer to pray for your waitress, whether you offer to serve here in some capacity in Radius Church, whether you're witnessing on your break with somebody in the coffee room at your job, come on, I'm trying to make this as practical as I can make it. God gives you and I opportunities after opportunities after opportunities to share our faith. You got a neighbor right next door to you that may not know Jesus. Guess what? Invite that neighbor over for dinner and introduce them to Jesus Christ. I grew up in a home I was adopted as a little baby. There was still a lot of dysfunction in the home that I grew up in. I love and appreciate my parents. They're both with Jesus now. Praise God. They're with the Lord. I'm thankful for that. But it was very dysfunctional. There was a lot of alcoholism. There was a lot of sexual sin. There was a lot of weirdness and different things that went on in my family. And so I grew up very insecure. I was an insecure kid. Sucked my thumb for a long time before I could get that thing out of my mouth. You know, I had a lot of issues of insecurity. But then one day when I was 12 years old, I set foot into a little Baptist church and I was introduced to Jesus Christ and I accepted him as my Lord and as my Savior. And he gave me security. Hallelujah. He gave me purpose. He gave me new life that I'd never experienced before. I just shared with you my testimony in about 45 seconds. And then you can ask this question. What faith did you grow up in? What was it like? What did you learn? Where are you at now in this spiritual journey? And allow the Holy Spirit, right? Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to people, to encourage people, and to help them and understand and to know that there is a real Jesus and that he loves them very, very much. The other passage that I want to just turn to really quickly, and then I'm going to hand this over back over to Pastor Zach, is Joshua chapter 1. The Israelites are getting ready to enter the land of Canaan, the promised land that God had promised them. In Joshua chapter 1, God is speaking to Joshua, and he says this, and this is another verse that the Lord gave to myself and my wife as we're preparing this journey to go to a place that we've never been to before. We've never lived there before. It's totally new to us, but we're excited for the opportunity. And this is what God said to Joshua, and this is what God says to us and to you that can hear my voice today. Have I not commanded you, be strong? Everyone say, be strong. Be strong and courageous. Say, courageous. Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Oh, fear is of the enemy. Fear scares us. Fear freaks us out. Fear upsets us. And you know what? This is the truth. So many of the things that we are afraid of never happen. Come on. Never happen. We just conjure them up in our own mind. But God says, do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. Another version says, do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Whether it's the grocery store, whether it's the post office, whether it's wherever you work, wherever that place of business is, maybe your own business, if you own a business, wherever it is, God is with you wherever you go. And he's going to give you all that you have need of in Jesus' name. Mark Batterson says this in his book, All In, a quote. He says this, going all out for God always starts with one step of faith. One step of faith. It's often the longest, hardest, and scariest step. But when we make a move that is motivated by God's glory and not our own, it moves the hand and heart of God. If you want God to do something new, hear me. If you want God to do something new, you cannot keep doing what you're doing. I challenge you in this. Do something new. Share the gospel with someone you've never shared it with before. Have someone in your home that you've never had in your home before. Come on. You've got to push past the fear of the unknown. You've got to do something different. And that is what my wife and I are going on this journey all about. We're excited. Yeah, we're nervous. We're a little scared. We're not as scared as we were a few months ago. But we do know that he's going before us. And we thank you for praying for us. Thank you for partnering with us. Thank you for the love offering today. Thank you for all that you're doing. And we will keep in touch with you and this flock, this body of believers, because we are so appreciative of the Wyoming Ministry Network and what it means to us. Thank you, and God bless you. Pastor Zach.
Give him a hand. Give him a hand. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you so much for that word, for sharing with what God has called you to be able to do. On top of that, I'm just sitting there, and I'm not usually one to be like this. I do like to challenge people. I challenge our youth all the time. I remember when I first got here, one of my first sermons was, I told them, I said, you need to do something different. And I said, that even means if you just need to even rearrange your room, right? I said, we live in sometimes such a mundane situation. I never understood my mom. She changes around our living room probably every 6 months. And I was just like, but I don't like it this way. I don't like it this way, right? I was fine with one way. I'm fine with doing things one way many single times. I'm the kind of person, if I go to dinner out somewhere, especially to say Olive Garden, I get the same thing 9.5 out of 10 times, okay? I promise you. For the next 3 years, I will get the exact same meal and I will never change. It will never be anything different. Okay, I have a hard time straying from certain paths. Okay, some paths, yeah, it's fun, that's cool. That's great, that's what it's meant for. But then there's other paths where it's just like, but this is good, right? But sometimes there's another path where it says, but this is great, right? And so what I want to challenge with you guys this morning as we worship one last time, as we give God praise and we get into his presence one more time, is I want to challenge you guys with where you are at. Okay, what else could you do? Maybe it's moving on from something that you've been involved here at the church or involved in some kind of other ministry, and maybe you felt maybe a little bit of a pull to do something else. They've been pulled to do something completely else, right? Maybe you're feeling pulled to be able to help with kids ministry. Maybe you're helped to feel pulled to help with youth ministry or young adults ministry, or maybe even life groups that we're going to be starting back up. We've got so many different things that we'd love to be able to do, but we also need the hands, but not just the hands, the minds. We need the experience and the faith to be able to show it. When I lived in Washington State, me and my wife helped out a church, a very small church. We dedicated a year of our lives when we first got married out there. And we encountered an organization, a nonprofit, who was all about mentorship. I can't even remember the name of the mentorship that they had. And it was all about helping youth, okay? It was middle school and high school students. And what it was a way for people to be able to partner with them from any church, anyone who wanted to be able to be a part of it. You'd be assigned basically a student. Me and my wife both participated. She was assigned a girl, I was assigned a guy. And our job was to be able to just mentor them in life in general, okay? And one of the videos that they showed as we were watching this, and they were well known throughout the community. And what it showed was grandmas and grandpas, peoples in their 60s, 70s, who I saw one, this grandma was riding a skateboard, okay? She was doing something different. I was shocked. I was amazed. And they also shared a story of one student who would always get picked up once a week from school. This older gentleman, he was probably in his 40s or 50s, and he would go and pick up the student, and he shared this testimony of this kid who was probably a sophomore in high school, and he would never come out of the school right away. He would wait 15 minutes for 2 months, okay, once a week. So for 8 weeks, this kid continued to wait 15 minutes inside the building waiting. The guy was already there. He'd been there for 15 minutes. But the kid didn't come out, and finally he stopped doing this. And finally, the kid, after about a year, shared with him the reason why. And he said, because every other time someone said they were going to do something for me, they didn't do it. He said, I was waiting to see if you were going to give up on me and leave. And that guy waited every single time, 15 minutes, without a problem. Never said a word to the kid. never said you need to be on time, never got on to him, and completely changed his kid's life because he was just there for him. There might be someone sitting next to you who just needs you to be there for them. There are people in our community who just need people to be there for them, to invite them over to their house for dinner, just as Kevin was saying. Sometimes that's all that people need. Sometimes all the youth want is someone to be able to listen to them or someone to be able to share their experiences with them. A lot of times as young people, right, I used to think it all the time, right? Well, I've been through, you have no idea what I'm going through, right? Come to find out, my grandpa's been through a whole lot of stuff, okay? He knows what he's talking about. And my grandpa was a huge part of my faith, of just being able to hear his stories of what God did in his life. And sometimes that's all the youth need. That's all the kids want to know. They want to be able to see it lived out. And that's what one of their other things is being able to reach them, is that young people just need to be able to see that faith being lived out. So if you would stand with me this morning, okay? And one, I'd like to then also ask our prayer team, if you would come forward. And if you would like prayer during this last song, maybe God's kind of pulling you somewhere and you want prayer. Maybe you got something going on in your life. You've got barriers up front and you need prayer for something. Then I want you to be able to come up front and ask our prayer team for prayer. So if you're part of our prayer team, if you would come up during this last song, and maybe you don't need prayer, but just go ahead and let's just give God some worship. Let's hear his voice this morning to see maybe he's pulling us in a different direction. Maybe he's keeping you right where you're at, and that's perfectly fine. Maybe he just wants to challenge you this morning. Maybe he wants to grab a hold of you this morning. God, we thank you for who you are. I thank you for this group. God, I pray that you would speak to us this morning. God, that you would move during this little bit of time of worship. God, we thank you for the challenge from Pastor Kevin. So God, just continue to be with us. Speak to our hearts this morning. Speak to our minds and give us confirmation of where you're taking us. So God, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to the podcast of Radius Church in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please check us out at radiuschurch.life or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation.